Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 23rd, 2024. Today is Saturday in the fifth week of Lent. This is a reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 9 through 23. Jesus said to his disciples, "As for yourselves, beware. For they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. But when you see the desolating sacrilege set up where it ought not to be, let the reader understand, then those in Judea must flee to the mountaintops. The one on the housetop must not go down or enter the house or take anything away. The one in the field must not turn back to get a coat. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not be in winter. For in those days there will be suffering such has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now, no, and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he has cut short those days. And if anyone says to you at that time, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. False messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be alert. I have already told you everything." Here ends the reading. 6 o'clock TV hour. Don't get caught in foreign tower, slash and burn, return, listen to yourself churn, lock him in uniform, book burning, blood letting, every motive escalate, automotive incinerate. Light a candle, light a motive, step down, watch your heel crush, crush, uh-oh. This means no fear, cavalier, renegade, and steering clear. A tournament, a tournament, a tournament of lies. Offer me solutions. Offer me alternatives and I decline. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. Perhaps you recognize the lyrics? They comprise the next to last verse of the chaotic and confusing REM song entitled, obviously, "It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine." As I read today's passage, I kept thinking about the picture Jesus paints of the time when everything that had seemed to be stable begins to unwind, unravel, and collapse in on itself. Just as the seemingly immovable stones in Herod's temple will be toppled, Jesus foresees a time when the systems of the world will be flung into disarray, the faithful will be wrongly persecuted, and the innocent will suffer as everything else falls apart. The world in 1987 was a world which had its own chaos and confusion, but the subject in the REM song stands aloof from it all. "I feel fine," he says. The subtext of the song seems to be a simultaneous recognition that there are plenty of things going wrong in the world, but how much of it is really true? or how much of it is merely magnified by narratives told for political and corporate purposes. The songwriter is unsure. He feels fine. In many ways, he is incredulous to the dire predictions being promulgated in his own day by politicians and media outlets. Fast forward almost 40 years, and depending upon your preferred media outlet, it is the end of the world, or at least the end of America. The only difference is each particular outlet has its preferred people to blame for how the world or the country is going to hell in a handbasket. No one seems all that interested in reconciliation, cooperation, or, God forbid, compromise. The blame game is in full swing. Politicians know that the theater keeps them in the good graces with their respective contributors and supporters, and therefore keeps them in office. And media pundits know that to continue to fan the flames of anger and fear keeps their coffers full of advertising money. I had a friend who was 30 years in journalism, and he said that it's altogether and sorrowfully true that if it bleeds, it leads. In the midst of all of this, plenty of people that I know have simply checked out of the entire affair. I feel fine, they say. But the problem with this typical American myopia is that we equate our well-being with the well-being of the world, and we mostly choose to ignore how our government's actions or inactions on our behalf are impacting the rest of the world. The situation that Jesus describes in Mark will not be ignored because it won't be global in scope. It will have cosmic implications. For in those days, there will be suffering such has not been from the beginning of creation and never will be. The words we hear in today's passage are difficult ones. And yet, Jesus' warning for his followers back then and here and now is meant to remind us that salvation belongs to God and to God alone. This good news, that our only hope is in God, is never good news to the systems and powers that arrogate to themselves power that only belongs to God. Jesus paints a picture of how, in their bid to keep the power they have, those systems and powers will persecute anyone deemed to threaten them. Jesus also reminds us that into all of this chaos, plenty of people will show up with messianic aspirations. "I alone can fix it," they will say. And Jesus warns us to remain alert to the temptation to blindly follow anyone but Jesus himself. In yesterday's passage, when Jesus described the end of days, you will recall he said, "These are the beginnings of the birth pangs." The hope for those of us who identify as Christians is not in a politician or a policy or even a country. The hope for the world is not in the military and economic might of the United States. Our hope as individuals is not in our retirement accounts or stock portfolios. As hard as it is for us to remember living as we live, our hope, our ultimate hope, our only hope is in God alone. The problem I've always had with the REM song is its nascent cynicism. It doesn't take the end of the world seriously enough. and the person claiming to feel fine can do so because of a host of unexamined privileges. All these decades later, I believe we can say it's probably not quite the end of the world, but we never know what's coming, and we're certainly closer to the end of the world now than we were in 1987 or even in Jesus' time. Depending on our own life situation, we may not feel fine, but we can put our anxieties and our fears and all the rest into the hands of the one who holds the future and each one of us securely for all time. Every time I read the 13th chapter of Mark, I am reminded that we do not read particular passages of Scripture in isolation from other passages. Each passage is in some ways in active conversation with the rest of Scripture. As I've reflected on today's passage, I keep being reminded of one of my favorite sections from Paul's letter to the Romans. It may not make us feel fine, but it will certainly readjust our perspective. Here it is. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if, in fact, we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll take the Apostle Paul over REM any day. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day when He shall come again in His glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through Him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.